Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and we deal every week with a variety of mental health issues. And this is a live call-in show, so we will be taking calls later in the show. The approach to the show in dealing with mental health issues is definitely a holistic one, which means body, mind, and spirit, finding balance within our lives, in our consciousness, how we live in the world, how we treat the world, as well as how we treat ourselves and our relationships. And I want to actually read an email that I got, and it's from a listener, and I don't often get a response to know that people are out there listening unless they call in, but I got this very nice email from Jerry in Phoenix, and he goes, "Mr. Altshuler, I just felt the need to drop you a note to thank you for your show. I work a lot of early evening shifts at my job and commute a solid hour to and from work. It is so nice on Wednesday nights to be able to listen to something positive on the airwaves. It, of course, is not a substitute for solid long-term professional counseling, but it serves as a springboard for raising issues with my therapist." There are a couple of other sentences here that would be too self-disclosing, but he ends this with, "Thank you for some of the best air on the air." Jerry in Phoenix writes that. And Jerry, if you're listening in the car tonight, thank you so much. And feel free to call in sometime and ask some questions or just keep listening. I really appreciated that you took the time to let me know what you thought of the show and that it's doing something for you. And that really is the goal of the show. And I like what you said, Jerry, that it serves as a springboard for raising issues with my therapist. So that's really what I'm hoping this would be. And so we have a caller, Dave, in Phoenix already.
Hello.
Dave, you there?
I'm here.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
Good. We talked a few weeks ago.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Things aren't too bad, actually.
I'm glad to hear that.
Things aren't too bad. Looked into a few rebirthing things. I'm actually checking myself into a dual mental and addicting treatment center.
Which center are you going to?
Hazelden, Minnesota.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad. I hope our talk a few weeks ago maybe helped move you along in that direction.
Well, I'm leaving tomorrow. I thought the least I could do is call you the night before I leave.
Ah, that's
not that I don't have a million other things to do.
Well,
I wanted to thank you, and I wanted all your listeners to hear someone thank you for words of advice. And if anyone out there needs anything, we'll follow up, and he will be there for you.
Well, thanks so much, David, and I hope some of the leads I gave you the following week helped in some way.
Oh, absolutely. And then just to let you know, you are a catalyst for me to want to change my own life. How's that?
I'm very humbled, and I'm very touched, and you're in my prayers, and I wish you a lot of luck in the treatment program. Make the best of it.
Thank you much. Have a good evening, and when I get back, I'll listen to the show again and let you know what's going on.
Great. Thanks, Dave, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Well, I seem to be getting quite a bit of good feedback tonight, and I'm very grateful to those of you that are listening, and we do wish Dave a lot of success in his treatment program. Tonight's topic, actually, my guest hasn't called in yet, so I'm not quite sure whether to take it in that direction or not. The topic tonight was going to be on cross-dressing, and I have a planned guest named Rick Novick, who's a psychiatrist and a cross-dresser himself, and we were going to be discussing a lot of the issues around cross-dressing. And so I'm actually on the air right now trying to decide whether to go ahead with the information that I have on it and discuss it or hold it until I find out what kept Dr. Novick. But the show, as you've been seeing, is really a very personal show. It's a show that is meant to stimulate some introspection on everyone's part, whether it's callers or whether it's like David, or whether it's the listeners like Jerry who emailed me. The idea of the show is really to expand our minds and expand our hearts in particular, so that we're treating ourselves with more love and kindness, and in doing so, heal those things that keep us from treating one another with love and kindness. In dealing with the issue of cross-dressing, which I think I'll go ahead and maybe Dr. Novick will call yet, I'm actually, as I did my homework on this, like with so many other issues, the personal and psychological and emotional and spiritual issues that are focused on cross-dressing really, in general, are no different than the issues all of us deal with anything that we have to keep a secret, any part of ourselves that we don't fully understand. And I remember years ago when I was still living in South Florida and had a private practice, because I was out as a gay man, some individual had a friend who was looking for a therapist who was a transsexual. And they assumed that because they were transsexual, a gay therapist would know how to handle them. And I said to them, well, it's certainly not an issue I have much experience in, but since there's no one else in town that they knew to refer him or her to, that I'd be certainly willing to see how we could work together and, you know, if there was some way I could help him. So I was doing a lot of Gestalt training at the time. In fact, I was in a two-year program in Miami and while living in West Palm Beach. And this guy named, I'm going to make up a name because even though it was a long time ago, I don't know where he or she is and if a sex change had taken place, but Chris came into my office and he's telling me about his childhood and about the struggle he was having internally about knowing he had a male body but feeling like a female, and that he often dressed as a woman in order to feel more comfortable in private at first, but was beginning to take hormone injections and was beginning to dress as a woman more frequently outside his home or her home. So after a couple of sessions, I asked him to come in the next time dressed as Christine, quote unquote. And at the next session, she came for the session. And actually what I did in the course of it was use the two-chair work that I learned as the Gestalt technique. And one chair was the male aspect of him, and the other chair was the female aspect of her. And I actually sat them down to dialogue. And so he'd get into the chair called Chris and would talk to Christine, and then switch chairs, and Christine would answer and respond to Chris. And this is something he had never done before, or she'd never done before. And as this dialogue went on, I personally was amazed to see these two beings actually getting acquainted, one being, but with such fear and anger towards one another, the male and the female aspect of them, and the things that I started to learn, and how they started to actually heal and work together, and came to understand that in this particular case, Christine was really the more powerful part, it was clear in terms of defining himself or herself as a transsexual, and I know that by the time I got done working with him or her, that his goal, her goal, was to go through the sex change operation. And, you know, I lost track of them, and I really don't know, what the end of that story is. But what it was for me was an opening of my mind and my consciousness to the genuineness of the feelings inside of this woman inside this male body trying to get out. Now, this, you know, if we're talking about a transsexual, we're not necessarily talking about cross-dressing. But the point of the story is the consciousness that it took in order to, first of all, accept the fact that something like this existed, and that for this individual, there was a search for his or her own personal normalcy or sense of balance. In what context or in what place did she feel the most balanced, or did he feel the most balanced? And in all the work that I'm doing in my own life, professionally, as well as on the show, the key is balance and to come from a place that's not judgmental. A few weeks ago, we talked about bisexuality. To be able to acknowledge that that's as natural an expression for some people as heterosexuality or homosexuality is for other people. For heterosexual to understand that homosexuality is as healthy and normal an expression of one's sexuality as they experience their own heterosexuality, and vice versa. And so when we're talking about cross-dressing is something a transsexual may go through at some point in the change process, or the gender reassignment, as it's called. But a transsexual is not necessarily a cross-dresser. Now, there's also the term transvestite. And doing my research, something more specific. And one definition that I found was that it's a transvestite or a TV is a term for those. Well, we are going to take a break right now. We'll come back with these definitions and talk a little bit more about this. And if my guest, Dr. Novick, doesn't call in, then hopefully some of you listeners will to discuss this further, so stay tuned. Well, welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. And lo and behold, my guest showed up tonight. He actually was given a wrong phone number to call in, and being as resourceful as he is, called information and got the right number, something many of us wouldn't think of. So I'd like to get right into this and welcome my guest tonight, Rick Novick, who is a psychiatrist and a cross-dresser himself. And I welcome you, Rick. I appreciate your perseverance and making it tonight, and looking forward to having you on the show here tonight.
Well, I'm happy to join you, Stuart.
Okay. We've not really been acquainted ourselves, so a lot of what you may have to say to me tonight will be new to me also, so I'm looking forward to hearing your experience as a professional as well as a cross-dresser. And what before the break, I started to work on defining things that is often confusing to a lot of people, which is the difference between transgender, cross-dresser, transvestite, transsexual. How would you differentiate between those?
Well, basically, yeah. You know, I would say that the cross-dressers are people that were born men and live as men, but who enjoy dressing up either in part or as women, whereas the transsexual is someone who was born male, but who
or female,
right?
Right.
absolutely. But you know, let me just sort of stick to just the male thought.
Well, okay.
Let me just try to keep it from getting too confusing or complicated. Stick to the male to female direction.
Okay.
A male to female transsexual is somebody who is born male, who either feels like inside that they're a woman born into the wrong body, or just plain feels like the only thing that would make them happy in life would be to live as a woman full time, and just basically live the life of a woman rather than the life of a man. And then transgender really is a umbrella term that encompasses both cross-dressers and transsexuals.
Okay.
So that when people talk about the transgender community, that includes all people. in the male to female direction, whether cross-dressers or transsexuals, as well as people from the female to male direction, which usually is just transsexuals. There is not a very large community at all of female to male cross-dressers.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really exist. There is really such a thing in the other direction.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying all that. In our society, I mean, most of us see cross-dressers, but usually what we see are, you know, for the older generation, the Milton Berle, you know, who used to do drag quite a bit as part of his routine. We've seen Dustin Hoffman in Tootsie. We've seen Robin Williams. I forgot the name of the movie, but Mrs. Doubtfire. And a lot of what we see when we see cross-dressing is what would more or less be considered comedy or drag. And when we look at drag shows and stuff like that, which are usually like extreme overblown caricatures of women. But that's not necessarily the expression of most cross-dressers, who, surprisingly to a lot of people, most cross-dressers would not necessarily be gay men. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. I mean, I think, you know, in addition to cross-dressers and transsexuals, they're usually seen as the third large group in the, you know, of male, you know, of male to female, of people who are born men that would dress up as women. Drag queens are usually seen as the third large group, and drag queens are typically gay men who like to have fun and be a little over the top with their impersonations of women. Whereas we cross-dressers, we're not so into that, and transsexuals are not so into that. We really prefer just to be normal women doing it. Sort of like a cross-dresser or transsexual typically likes to be the woman that he would have been had he been born a woman.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. More of a natural expression or a natural extension of that feminine side of them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and might come off like, you know, if he had a sister, might, you know, come off more or less like one of his sisters.
Uh-huh.
Another woman in the family that he was born into.
Now, is it... well, that question will be held until after this break. So the question really is going to be, to give you some food for thought, is this something that usually starts in childhood or something that starts as someone approaches puberty or adulthood? So we're going to get into that question when we come back from this break. So please stand by, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Tonight's topic is cross-dressing. And my subtitle, actually, for this is The Pains, the Joys, and the Challenges of a Cross-Dresser. And my guest tonight is Dr. Rick Novick, who is a psychiatrist, an MD, and he himself is also a cross-dresser. So before the break, Rick, I threw out a question about when does this usually start for an individual? Is this something that a child is going through by sneaking into mom's closet as a kid, and or is it something that often or most usually shows up in adolescence or adulthood?
Well, this is usually, you know, cross-dressing is usually something that shows up with puberty. You know, can be anywhere from the age of, let's say, 10 to 15 or something. Usually it is discovered when a boy starts to have sexual thoughts and realizes that he's turned on by the idea of either imagining that he's a woman or using some of his sister's or mother's clothes, putting them on and discovering that he gets sexually excited, perhaps incorporating that into in his masturbation. Sometimes in retrospect, when a cross-dresser looks back, they can see signs of it from, even before puberty. But some people can't, and often they're only subtle signs that are only seen, later on. So that's pretty much how it began.
Mm-hmm. And what are the, I've talked on the show many times about, being gay or lesbian and coming out of the closet and the fears of being found out and how do you tell, how do you come out? I'm going to assume that for a cross-dresser there are similar angst in the process of dealing with this and self-acceptance or thinking one's sick or feeling shame and keeping the secrets and self-image things. What can you tell us about that process for cross-dressing?
Well, I think you're completely right. There really is the sense, like cross-dressers really have the sense of feeling very bad about themselves. I'm a freak. There's something wrong with me. This is the most humiliating thing in the world. I can't breathe words about this to anybody ever. No woman would have me if she hears that I like lingerie. Things like this. Cross-dressers struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
Am I insane? Lots of these questions come up.
Mm-hmm.
And really, some people can be quite tortured with these things for years, if not even lifetimes.
Well, especially just like with, gay or lesbian, if they're keeping it a secret, that also means that they're not doing much research on it, and the only thing they have to go by is what, the jokes that go around or what they see in the media or the buffoons that they may see in movies or TV type of situations.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right, and it's a little worse than that because, some of the more conservative people in mental health will still consider cross-dressers and perhaps even transgender people on the whole as, as mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can even get very, wrong-headed messages from people in positions of authority and supposed knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Much the way it was true with homosexuality being considered a disease until 1972 and mm-hmm. perhaps even until 1986.
Right. So is this considered a fetish or is it considered a deviancy? Is it considered just an somewhere else along the bell curve?
Well, it depends who you ask.
Right.
Tell me what a fetish is, and I could tell you whether I think it is.
Well, you're the psychiatrist. How are you defining it?
I define fetish as something that you're turned on by, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what I call a fetish.
All right.
Or at least that's what I call a perversion. Something that you like that I think is yucky.
Okay. So some people will consider this a fetish or a perversion.
Oh, they will.
Well.
There will be people
sure.
that certainly would.
Mm-hmm.
But, the deeper question, of course, when it comes to any matters of sexual diversity, different sexual tastes, really is to ask the question, does this do any harm? And is everything that's done consensual?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And certainly if one is dressing by oneself, it's consensual, we would hope.
Right.
Does it do any harm? Well, really nobody's hurt. Only somebody has had a more joyous time of it. Whether that would involve actually bringing yourself to orgasm or just, dressing up and having a good time out dancing.
Okay, well, let's take this to the next level, and I don't know if you're in a relationship yourself or whether you have kids or what the situation is with you, but the issue of if you're hiding, if you're in secrecy, and you fall in love, and you're dating, and keeping the secret, then some people would say that you're bringing someone else into it if there's a secret there, and that there is harm you may be doing to the spouse or to kids in terms of embarrassment and humiliation, or you know something that they couldn't understand or whatever. What about that aspect of it?
Well, I think you're hitting on what tends to be the trickiest aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why this is tricky is that the overwhelming majority of cross-dressers are straight men, or at least straight in the sense that they vastly prefer women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might experiment with men, and you know, that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But cross-dressers generally prefer women, and are men who are more or less, you know, hoping to have conventional lives other than the fact that they like to cross-dress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tricky because, most women out there, most straight women out there, really are not looking, would not be pleased to hear that a man that they're dating or getting seriously involved with or been married to for 16 years is a cross-dresser.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an attractive thing. And to the overwhelming majority of women. And so this is the real difficulty when it comes to cross-dressing, is that it's a harmless thing in and of itself, but it just doesn't fit that well into our system of
mm-hmm.
men, women, marriages, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And taste.
Right.
You know, what women like in men. So that's kind of the sore thumb of it, which I think doesn't have anything to do with cross-dressing per se, but how it fits into our culture and people's taste, especially women's taste in men.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that, typically what it meant was that cross-dressers try to deny how much they were interested in and turned on by women saying for a long time, and maybe only start to have that burst out on them, 10, 20 years into a marriage, kids already, and be, in their mid-40s or something before, maybe having a midlife experience and thinking, God, I'm not going to be around forever, and I'm so interested in trying this on or learning about that or something, and have it kind of burst out on them in either a crisis or at least having to find a way to get away from their wife secretly and join a group of cross-dressers.
Mm-hmm.
And have the experience of being able to dress up and being around people who share your feelings and, support each other and learn from each other. So a lot of times that's kind of what happens is that cross-dressers will start to get comfortable with his feelings and what he wants to do and start doing it, pretty far into a marriage. And then eventually, these days most cross-dressers will talk to their wives and come out to their wives, confide in their wives, but not too many other people.
Right. That clarifies quite a bit, actually, and we're going to take another break here and come back with my guest, Rick Novick, Dr. Rick Novick, and our topic of cross-dressing. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. Tonight's topic is cross-dressing, and my guest tonight is Dr. Rick Novick, who's a psychiatrist as well as a cross-dresser himself. And, Rick, during the break, we were talking about focusing a little bit more on the other aspects of the joys of cross-dressing. And we talked earlier about how the isolation and the secrecy brings shame and self-image problems and all sorts of problems with relationships and intimacy and stuff. But when there's a real acceptance of oneself and openness in the context of relationships, like with anything else, there's improved self-esteem, confidence, the opportunity to be out in the world exploring. What's that side of life like for a cross-dresser?
Well, you know, I think there's a real evolution that can take place for a cross-dresser when things go well. You know, I think that what often starts as a sexual urge ends up more and more being about urge to express yourself. And often the sexual urge part of it goes away, which in some regards is too bad, but things happen as you get older. At any rate, you know, often, you know, somebody who might just be turned on by a little lingerie ends up really finding that deep down, seeing how they might look as a woman, dressing up and expressing your sense of style with your clothing choices as a woman and your word choices and conversational style, learning how to talk like a woman, walk like a woman, maybe even pass like a woman if you have to be blessed with a shorter, slighter body, is possible. But if not, it's remarkable how good people can look when they become very skilled at this. People really, you know, get out and meet each other as part of cross-dressing support groups. There are TRIESS is a national organization, TRIESS, which has chapters in most of the large cities in America. And so people will join support groups like that and others in major cities and meet each other and make friends and do things like go out shopping, you know, go to the mall, walk around, buy clothes, you know, dine at a restaurant, go to a movie, go out to dancing, to clubs. Typically, you know, in most American cities, cross-dressers will go out to a tolerant gay club account and, you know, get into the whole dance music scene that goes on. In the bigger cities, we have transgender clubs that are our own nightclubs, which are really probably the most fun for us, but those are only really in the New York's and San Francisco's, LA's, Chicago's, Atlanta's, things like that, really much bigger places. Now, what can happen also is that as a cross-dresser starts to feel better about himself, he has a good chance of coming forward with the cross-dressing to his wife, or preferably girlfriend before he's even married, and saying something along the lines of, you know, hey, honey, this is who I am, and I like it about me. I know it's real different, you know, but I love you, and I really want to like you more than anybody else, by far, and, you know, I hope you can accept this about me. Then, you know, often with that kind of positive spin you know, things can work out. And there are a lot of prospects who have wives and girlfriends who are very tolerant. Some that even have that have spouses who are sympathetic and into it, although that's not that common. But very often wives can be pretty understanding about this, and, you know, marriages can work out. And as that happens, the marriage and really the bond between the cross-dresser and his wife is profoundly deep, because the marriage becomes more one where you really know everything about each other. You know the real vulnerabilities that aren't shared with anyone else.
Well, I think anytime there's that level of honesty, then that possibility for a deeper level of intimacy, no matter what the issues are, is certainly there. And I think that's clearly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And we are coming close to the end of tonight's show. We need to take our last break here. So I want to thank you for your participation tonight and ask everybody to stay tuned. We'll be back for a final word. Welcome back to our final segment tonight of Tell the Truth Faster. Our topic tonight has been cross-dressing, and I want to start by thanking Dr. Rick Novick for being my guest tonight and being so genuine and informative. So thanks for finding the phone number and persevering and for, you know, what you've contributed to tonight's show. And I'm sure those that are listening where this is relevant for may be a little bit more assured of who they are. So thanks, Rick.
Stuart, it's been my pleasure.
Great. And I want to close tonight by reading a short piece that I got off the internet called Living in a Box, and it's written by actually somebody that Dr. Novick knows about quite a bit. And her name is Joanne Roberts, who's a PhD, and she wrote this in November of 1987 for the Renaissance News. And I quote, "The newspaper carried a story today of an 11-year-old boy who was kept in a wooden box by a step-grandmother because she feared he was brain damaged. The boy was found to be mentally normal. When I read the story in the October 10th issue of the Philadelphia Inquirer, I almost started to cry. What an ignominious way to live. How has that poor child's psyche been damaged? What will happen to him in later life? The whole thing gave me pause to consider my life. As I thought about that child, I realized that I, too, at one time lived in a box. My box was made from a variety of woods. Bigotry, racism, sexism, and parochialism were a few. The nails holding it all together were fear, loathing, ignorance, and despair. The wood was supplied without charge by the world around me, and I pounded those self-made nails. Yes, my box was nailed shut from the inside. I hid the real me in that box for almost 32 years. The person that walked through the world was only a facade, a shadow person built out of other people's expectations. Then one day something happened. The nails made of ignorance started to rust away. They were soon followed by those of fear. Eventually, the nails were all gone, and first one side and then the other fell away from my box. I let free the real me. I faced the world for the first time and realized that I could be my own person. I could have original thoughts and feelings. I was not a puppet to be controlled. I knew I could do almost anything I set my mind to, and that ultimately I could control my life. The key was acceptance of myself and acceptance of the responsibility for my actions. I understood that there is a basic human dignity within everyone, and that dignity deserves respect. I resolved never to apologize to anyone for being me, and I would consider carefully any criticism of others. So, how many of you are still living in your own boxes? Isn't it about time you start pulling the nails free? Isn't it about time for you to kick the boards loose? And isn't it about time for you to face the world and yourself with the truth? There are no barriers except those you erect yourself, so tear them down. Look in the mirror and say to yourself, I have the ultimate control and responsibility for my life. Then believe it and get on with the rest of your life. The past is immutable, so why worry about what cannot be changed? Look forward to the future and new goals. You will be amazed at how much you can accomplish if you will only believe in yourself. There is no one in this world more deserving of your respect than yourself. For if you cannot respect yourself, you cannot possibly respect anyone else. And how will you ever break out of your box before you mentally suffocate? With that thought, I wish all of you a great week. I wish my caller David great luck in his recovery program, and good night to all of you.